5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
In this segment, we've been having a number of interviews with candidates, both locally and on the statewide level. Today, though, we wanted to go a different direction, talk about a ballot measure that is getting a lot of attention in the state of Oregon and even really from other states as well. And it's ballot measure 114. Kevin Sterrett is the executive director of the Oregon Firearms Federation. He joins us now. Kevin, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
So I guess tell us a little more about this. Let's back up to what led to this getting on the ballot. What can you tell us about that?
Well, what led it to it getting on the ballot was massive infusions of cash to the people promoting it from Gabby Giffords and the ACLU and the teachers' unions, and allowed them to hire out-of-state signature gatherers who lied to people about what was on the measure in order to get signatures. This ballot measure is inherently racist, so badly crafted that it refers to statutes that don't even exist. And the people who wrote it don't even understand it. I mean, page one of the measure says that a permit to purchase means authorization issued to a person to purchase a firearm. Page three says a permit to purchase issued under this section does not create any right of the permit holder to receive a firearm. That's the kind of nonsense that we're dealing with. And unfortunately, many people in the standard cartel media have created this enormous mountain of lies about what's in it, just to disguise the actual makeup and contents of the measure.
I was looking around at some information this morning, and a yes vote requires permits to issued by local law enforcement to buy a firearm. Talks about requiring photo ID and fingerprints, safety training, and more, and a fee payment to apply for a permit, and a number of other aspects. But it sounds like even for those who might be in favor of a lot of the elements, there seems to be a real question about how well it was crafted.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the people who have been promoting this measure have long, for a long time, been saying that our justice system is racist and the police are white supremacists, yet they want to turn over complete dictatorial control over who can buy a firearm to police. And in fact, they've modeled this measure out of New York they modeled it after the New York Sullivan Law, and the law in Alabama. The Sullivan Law was designed to prevent blacks and Italians from getting guns, and the Alabama law was used to prevent Martin Luther King from buying a gun when his life was being threatened. So they don't even know what they're doing, and in fact, consistently lie about what it does. For example, the measure requires a class that can only be taught by the police that requires live fire. And John Hummel, the Deschutes County District Attorney, is claiming that that means you can pretend to shoot a gun, which, of course, is on the face of it absurd, because the measure specifically makes it clear that it has to be live fire with an instructor in the room or at the location, not in a room, but at the location. And the proponents have consistently said they want this to prove that people are competent to use guns. Well, if you can prove that you're competent to use a gun by pretending to shoot it, you could get a driver's license by sitting in your driveway. So they're just flat out lying about it. As a matter of fact, Hummel has a voter's guide argument that actually has provable lies in it. I mean, he's saying that under Oregon law, you can get a gun the day after you've tried to get it without completing a background check, and that is just simply false. And that is the kind of thing that we're faced with, both the media and the proponents of this measure completely incapable of defending what's in it, so constantly diverting the conversation to things that simply aren't true.
Now, the Oregon Firearms Federation, tell folks more about your organization, what you represent.
Well, we represent the rights of gun owners. We've been doing it for about 25 years. We believe that all people who are law-abiding people and not incarcerated have the right to protect themselves and their family. And to that, we have been defending people's rights in this state to do just that. That's what our goal has been. That's why we oppose this measure, because the measure is completely designed to only affect law-abiding people while completely... Now, let me give you a perfect example. One of the people who defends this measure in several interviews and debates I've been in is a Miles Pendleton, who is the NAACP Eugene chapter president. And he's claiming that this measure is greatly supported by the, quote, BIPOC community. But in fact, this measure was specifically created to make sure that minority members have the most difficult access to firearms, because in addition to having to purchase a firearm at great expense, now they will have to ask the police, who they do not particularly trust, to give them permission and give them complete, total access to any information they want. There are no limits on the investigations the police can do. Then it requires a live fire component, which is almost will be available almost nowhere, certainly not in our urban areas. And so the whole thing has just been this colossal fraud. But on top of that, Pendleton has repeatedly said that he does not believe that people who commit crime should go to jail. So while we've created this new category of crimes, meaning, oh, you could go to jail for having a magazine that's been in your family for decades, he also simultaneously says he doesn't believe that people should be incarcerated. And then that brings us to the magazine portion of it, saying we don't want people to have magazines of over 10 rounds because they're used in mass shootings. So a single mom defending her family can't have a magazine with more than 10 rounds, but she can have 10 magazines. But on top of that, this is completely impossible to legitimately enforce because magazines are unregulated almost everywhere in the country. They have no serial numbers. They're available to anybody in any store once they leave Oregon. So the only people affected will be the people who want to obey the law, certainly not a person who's planning to commit a crime or a mass shooting and will have unfettered access to these magazines anytime they want.
What are you hearing about law enforcement's reaction to this measure?
I've spoken to law enforcement all over the state. We have statements from several of them on our website. Every active police officer and agency that we've spoken to is opposed to it. We've seen comments in the Voter's Guide from retired cops from liberal cities saying they support it. But the sheriffs we've spoken to, the local police we've spoken to, have uniformly said, we see no way that we can comply with this. We don't have the resources or the facilities to offer the classes, and we don't have the manpower or the money to do all the permitting and the background checks. Another thing this measure does is it moves us from having the required, we have a required background check now to buy a gun. You cannot buy a gun without a background check and approval from the state police, which they frequently do not even give you for 2 years. This measure now makes it 3 background checks to get the gun, with 0 time limit on how long the state police can take to approve you.
One of the other things about ballot measures is normally there's this gets into legal wording that gets over a lot of our heads sometimes. But basically, when you have a measure out there, it'll talk about how you're going to fund doing all this. My understanding, that's not in this one.
There's no funding discussed at all. And when this is brought up to the proponents of the measure, they always fall back on saying, well, look, gun violence is very expensive, so it doesn't matter what this costs. You guys figure this out. And then, of course, what we always hear is, well, if we save one life, it will be worth it, which is, of course, sophistry. If we save one life, we should take the car keys away from everyone under 25 years of age. And on top of that, they never are willing to talk about the lives this will take because of the people who will be prevented from protecting themselves in an environment where the police are no longer responding to violent crimes. So imagine being a single mom in a rural area with a stalker who now feels the need to protect herself with no protection from local police because they don't have the resources, and now she's being told, you can literally wait forever before we give you permission to protect your children. You know, so for a person like me who already owns firearms, that's an annoyance and an inconvenience. But for someone like that, it could be a death sentence, and that's what this measure is about. It's about punishing people who want to obey the law while rewarding people, once again, who violate the law.
And if you have to take a class and law enforcement says, we don't have the staffing because we're understaffed right now, or we don't have the resources to pull somebody from a different job and put them in charge of dealing with a class, then it seems like you're kind of stuck at a no-go situation.
Well, there's no requirement that these classes be taught. So while a class can only be taught by police or people they've authorized, there's no requirement that they do it. So imagine being an underfunded rural sheriff's office that they simply can't comply. Or imagine being a local police department in a city where the city council is run by liberals who say, we're just not going to expend the money. And one of the things that's happening, what I have seen in the mainstream media, is they want to deflect from this. I just heard an interview on a public radio station where with a reporter, and I use the word loosely, was saying, well, you know, they give gun classes and gun ranges all over this state. I found 85 ranges in the state, completely ignoring the fact that they're not allowed to give those classes, that the people who are currently giving classes, gun safety classes and concealed handgun license classes, will be forbidden from teaching this class. And it will only be available by people that are authorized by the police when they have no requirement to do it at all.
More when we come back. Kevin Sterrett, Executive Director of the Oregon Firearms Federation. We're talking about ballot measure 114. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt. That's on the way, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, non-affiliated candidate for governor, Betsy Johnson will be with us. Kevin Sterrett is the Executive Director of the Oregon Firearms Federation. We're talking about ballot measure 114. And Kevin, obviously in Douglas County, a lot of people like to hunt. A lot of people have concealed carry, and there's a lot of interest in this issue around here. Now, you talked about your organization and also about law enforcement and the reaction you've heard about it. What about other organizations around the state that are opposed to this?
Well, you know, I don't speak for other organizations, but what I will say is what I've seen with this issue, which is really new, is so many people independently stepping up and taking action against it. I mean, I've seen gun clubs who printed up and distributed their own signs. I've seen local people and organizations buying radio time and sometimes meeting each other through this effort, but also outraged by the extreme nature of it, that you're just stepping up. Now, I mean, there's an organization that represents gun dealers. They have not been involved in any way and expressed no interest. But individuals, people who are impacted, gun store owners themselves, and people who just, they're not even all gun owners. They're just people who've looked at the measure and said, this simply makes no sense. This is really tyranny, and this is going to affect people most seriously who are the least capable of dealing with it economically.
And what about for folks that maybe they don't hunt, maybe guns, you know, target shooting, other reasons to have it, personal protection is not something they are interested in? Why should the non-gun interested people be interested in this measure?
Because if it passes, there will be an enormous and bad impact on their local law enforcement, who now, already undermanned and underfunded, will have to find a way to issue permits when they simply don't have the resources to do it. Now, you take a small sheriff's office or a small local police department that now will have to face some way to divert manpower and resources to doing background checks and permits. These all have to be done in person, all right? You have to come in so that the police can determine if you're mentally ill, which they are not qualified to do, of course, or maybe to determine if they don't like the way you look. So it's a massive waste of resources to replicate what we already have. We already have a background check required. And as it is now, what's supposed to be an instant background check is taking the state police up to 2 years to complete. In many cases, they don't even initiate the background check to start the process for weeks at a time. And the proponents are saying, well, you know, you're allowed to have the gun after 3 days. It's the Charleston loophole and all this other nonsense, when really what it is just a safeguard for when the state police simply don't do their job. And in my organization, hears from people every day who are being told, we haven't even started your background check. Don't call us, don't bother us, or they're delayed and nobody knows why, and the police won't tell them. So they're sitting around waiting. They've purchased the firearm, they spent their money, and now they can't have the property because the state police are slow walking everything, and I believe in many cases doing it deliberately in hopes that this measure passes, because the state police answer to Kate Brown. Kate Brown has contributed a lot of money to this effort, and if it passes, then nobody gets a firearm, and ultimately that's her goal and the goal of the Oregon Education Association and the NEA and the ACLU and all the other people who have contributed what amounts to millions of dollars to this campaign.
So if this were to pass, do you see it facing litigation fairly quickly?
Absolutely. And it will fail. There's no question that all of this is unconstitutional, particularly based on the recent Supreme Court decision that came out of New York. It's unconstitutional on its face. The magazine ban will be found unconstitutional because California's magazine ban has already been vacated and remanded, and they're being forced to reconsider theirs. The Connecticut permit law that they keep relying on and saying is a great model for success has just been overturned. So it will fail. The question is, how much will it cost? How long will it take? How many businesses will fold? And how many people will be put in danger until that can find its way through the courts, which we expect will lose in Oregon until we get out of Oregon and up to a higher court? But ultimately, there's no question that the law will fail.
Has your organization or anybody else that you're aware of done polling on this measure that's been out in the public yet?
The only poll that I have seen was published in the Oregonian as part of an article that was extremely biased and poorly researched, and it said that the proponents were leading by 51%. So they had the measure was passing by 51% with a margin of error of plus or minus 4. So I believe that given all the lies the media has told about this, that means we're probably statistically ahead. But I am concerned that people don't know what's in the measure. It's 12 pages long. There are a lot of lies in the ballot and voter's guide about it. And people could be duped into thinking this is something positive when it really is just a serious attack on their rights and their property.
And quite often when you have a general election like this, obviously a lot of interest in the governor's race or legislative races that have a lot of attention in Oregon. Sometimes the ballot measures are the ones that people don't really decide until they're marking the ballot.
Yeah, and we saw what happened with ballot measure 110, which was a fraud, which we were going to treat people with drug addiction, and now our streets are littered with the bodies of drug addicts who died of overdoses as a result of that measure. So that's what the danger of ballot measures is that they're not properly vetted, and the people with the most money tend to win. And I'm just hoping that people in Oregon take the time to find out what's actually in it, and I believe if they do, they'll reject it.
And when you go through the litigation process, even while that is going on, and that could certainly take some time, there have been times in the past with other types of measures where the legislature has come back in maybe the next year or maybe up the road a bit and had to make some adjustments to things because they said it wasn't written the way, you know, it had unintended consequences. Essentially, do you think that's going to be the case here?
Well, the proponents of the measure have already said that it's flawed and will need to be fixed in the legislature, while at the same time, so John Hummel, district attorney of Deschutes County, they admit that it's filled with errors that need to be addressed by the legislature, yet he calls it a perfect measure. So there's no question. I mean, the discrimination parts of it, now they're saying, well, we're going to have an equity committee to look into that. But there's no equity committee listed in the measure. So, yes, the legislature will take it up. The ban on shotguns is something they claim they didn't intend. The measure bans almost all shotguns. That's the end of youth trap shooting in this state. So, yeah, the legislature will take it up, and in the interim, people will be denied their rights, and gun stores will close because of the mess that this measure created, because the people who created it admit they know nothing about guns and, in fact, admitted in the explanatory statement committee that they have irrational fears of them. This is the danger that we have when people create ballot measures and pay to get them on the ballot when they don't know what they're talking about.
You mentioned some of the other states with laws. Are there anything similar that's currently on the books that's not being challenged around the country?
Well, there are other states that have permitting laws, but we believe they will all fail soon. I mean, Connecticut's Massachusetts has just been struck down, and New York's has been struck down. And in the wake of New York's being struck down, we expect that most other states will have theirs struck down as well, because the courts have said the Second Amendment cannot be treated like a second-class right, and you cannot be required to ask permission to exercise a right. And in this case, the permission that's being required, you probably can't get under any circumstances because it's impossible to comply with.
Just about out of time. Kevin, if people want to find out more, I know you've got a website out there with some information from your perspective. Where can folks access that?
They can visit that at stop114.com. I think it has everything there people need to know to reject this measure.
Kevin Sterrett, Executive Director of the Oregon Firearms Federation. Kevin, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.